Hugh, tell me about the psychic children that got you involved in Earth Grid's research. Tell me, how did this all happen?
Well, I went to this conference in Hawaii in 2003, organized by James Twyman and others, and I was interested in this because I'd been before that, I was at college in London. I got a couple of jobs babysitting some friends' kids, and they were indigo children. They were psychic children and very, very incredible kind of kids, you know. And that kind of got me really inspired, so I thought, well, I'll go to this conference. And I traveled through Mexico and Guatemala for several months. I started my research on the Olmecs and the Mayans back then. But yeah, and I met them all there, and they deliberately chose Hawaii because it was a grid point, and it was one of the most powerful ones on the planet. It sits at 19.5 degrees as well above the equator.
Isn't that interesting?
A lot
of things hit at 19.5, don't they?
They certainly do throughout the solar system, yeah. And so that's a significant point, something that Richard Hoagland sort of inspired me with that.
You know what? He's listening to you right now, as a matter of fact.
Hello there, Richard.
Sending me messages left and right about you. So okay. He likes you, by the way.
Oh, good. So the conference there really inspired me. And there's a certain... one of the children, or she's like a young adult now, was Grandmother Chandra, and she really inspired me and got me tuned up to this sort of elements of how the grid functions and how these kids work with it on a psychic level or a telepathic level. But I was quite interested in just the whole phenomenon of that. This is very interesting. And so that really sort of spun me into this whole idea of there being a grid. I was already into crop circles, ley lines, and things like that before then. I hadn't really kind of thought much about the grid until Grandma Chandra kind of really inspired me. And I did a bit of research and found that Hawaii is a particularly interesting place. So the veil is very thin there on the big island. I couldn't sleep 5 or 6 days. It was such an intense energy there. And so that really kind of opened it up to me. And then the research just sort of cascaded from there. And it sort of developed quite quickly.
The work that's been done by you and others about this, it's so obvious that there's something going on. It's fascinating to me why mainstream science hasn't picked up on this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. It does baffle me a little bit as well. But there is a potential. This is something that Bruce Cathy, who's another grid researcher from New Zealand, has been looking at. And he's convinced they do know all about all of this. They've got it down. They understand it all, but they want to keep it secret for themselves because they're actually using it for their own purposes. There's many different theories and speculations as to what that is. But for example, Bruce Cathy thinks that the interaction that ETs have had with humans on the planet going back, a very long time. But specifically, he thinks to the last 50 or so years, that these crafts that they come to Earth in, or he thinks as underwater bases too, that they're actually using a certain grid to actually travel along and use the energy from that to actually power their crafts, to power their devices. So I find that rather interesting. And this is where you start getting into this whole anti-gravity or zero-point energy and things like this. And so I think there is a whole aspect to that which is being kept secret for a reason, because it's being used, not necessarily for the public, and which I think it should be.
Are you familiar with Coral Castle in Florida?
I've not been there, but yes, I am familiar with that place.
Okay. Old fella is not with us anymore. Edward Lead Skullin weighed 120 pounds, lifted pyramid-type-sized blocks all by himself. He knew something. I'm wondering, Hugh, if the position of where he put this castle, he moved it from one to another spot, but he may have known that they were on the grid or they were on ley lines, but it must have given him an ability to move these blocks, these huge blocks of stone, very effortlessly.
Yeah, I mean, the mystery of Coral Castle is one of the most fascinating of the lot, really, especially because it's so modern. It's only like, 40 or 50 years ago. This kind of fascinates me. There's one aspect to that which is interesting, like what you said, which he moved his whole site to another place. And there's some grid theorists who believe that he moved it there specifically because that was much more powerful and he could get more gravitational effect there to move these blocks and do his kind of like magic, if you will. And he even admitted, like I'm sure many of your listeners know, that he was going to take to the grave the secrets of the pyramid builders.
That's right.
Fortunately, he did. So we don't really know what happened, but I think he was somehow using magnetism and using the coral type rock, somehow charging it. So it would like two magnets where one of them floats above the other. You can do a little experiment.
Well, he claimed that every object was magnetic. It didn't have to be metal or iron or anything like that.
Hmm.
And he might be right.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, sure.
Do you think extraterrestrials were involved in any of this?
There's a good chance of that. I haven't seen enough sort of solid evidence of that, but you can't help but have that as part of the grand theory here, because you look at what Bruce Cathy's already talked about, you look at obviously the work of Eric von Daniken and others, and there's a lot of evidence, and it kind of helps explain how they could have been so advanced such a long time ago and so sophisticated, where it doesn't fit in with the human story going back to prehistory. So there seems to be more and more evidence of that, and yeah, I mean, there's certainly something in that. It's not something I've personally researched and studied essentially myself, but I think there's certainly a connection there.
Do we know if there have been any massive Earth changes or effects by any of these points?
Yeah, I mean, there's evidence that obviously the actual Earth crust has shifted. This is something that Charles Hapgood, Rand Flemath, and others have looked into quite carefully. And it's interesting because when you relate some of the ancient sites to where the poles used to be, like in Hudson Bay and other places, they align to where they used to be, the poles. And so that's quite an interesting way of looking at things. There's also, obviously, the magnetic poles seem to be fluctuating and moving about. So there's something in that as well, but I don't know how much that would affect the placement of sites. However, it could have been because stuff shifted in antiquity when prehistory, that they actually had to resurvey the planet and remap the planet. And so this could be why there's these different epochs of time. They've actually kind of, it looks like they've remapped the planet, rebuilt sites, repositioned them, etc. And so, yeah, it looks like there's certainly evidence of that.
Hugh, why is Giza so important to all of this?
I think Giza's essential to all this. It's almost like it's the center point of the planet from a geodetic or a geomantic perspective. Most of the major sites around the planet are somehow aligned to Giza, whether it be through distance, degrees, angles, or just simply because of the design of them and the era that they were built in. And the Prime Meridian, I believe, and many others, used to go through Giza, used to go through the Great Pyramid, and all maps and surveys and other major ancient capital sites were derived from that particular line, or even directly from Giza itself. And also, it seems like it's the mother culture of the megalithic world. However, recent discoveries have found that potentially there are other sites which are much older than that.